The three-day strike on the LIRR is over. Officials announced a tentative deal last night on the first weekday of the strike. Both sides are calling it a fair deal. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says details won't become public until union members have a chance to vote.
We stood firm for a deal that would not require any additional fare increases or tax increases. Period. Full stop. Got it done.
Partial service began at noon with full weekday schedule service at 4. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A top Connecticut University system official resigns amid a scandal with other leaders. New York delays its rollout of electric school buses. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Long Story Short. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The chairman of the Connecticut State College and University Systems Board of Regents has resigned amid a scandal involving top system leadership. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont appointed Marty Gouet as chair less than 2 years ago. His resignation comes days after complaints about interim chancellor John Maduko were made public, accusing him of sexually harassing a female subordinate. The complaints, which were released last week by the CSCU system, also mention Gouet. The employee says she spoke to Gouet in 2025 about Maduko's advances, and that Gouet said he'd once had an employee fired after they made a sexual harassment claim against him. The employee says she took that as a, quote, threat or test. In a statement, Lamont thanked Gouet for his service. He also said the investigation into the complaint must move forward quickly and transparently. Maduko has also resigned. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York State's school districts had been set to transition to electric buses by next year. Now, lawmakers say a proposal to push back that mandate will be included in this year's state budget. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports.
The transition to electric school buses had been set to begin by next year, but would now take place in 2032. The proposal incorporates a bill from Senator Chris Ryan, a Democrat from Onondaga County. He says several districts had already asked for waivers of the requirement to comply with the 2027 mandate.
We're not ready for a number of reasons, right? So the buses, you know, largely aren't available. So I don't even think we could actually meet the deadline of the mandate. You know, the buses that they are available are very, very, very expensive.
Ryan says the delay will give districts time to make the transition properly and allow technology and infrastructure to catch up. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says lawmakers are still weighing whether to give school districts more money to assist in the transition. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
The Connecticut Department of Correction announced leadership and structural changes. It comes after findings from a report showed a string of medical incidents and deaths. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
An audit report of the department released in January found failures with medical care by state prison staff. The report showed that staff had administered medications to incarcerated individuals late or not at all. In some cases, individuals were given too much medication and died from overdose. Lawmakers questioned the department about the reported inconsistencies in medical care and proper employee training, which led to an investigation and the commissioner resigning. This week, the department announced structural changes, including the appointment of a new commissioner and executive director of inmate medical services. The department says it's working with the Department of Social Services and UConn Health to rapidly address the backlog of outstanding medical appointments. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Coming up, a deep dive into the Democratic and Republican primaries in Connecticut. Stay here. North Haven local leaders have approved a plan to let Amazon deliver products via drone. The online retailer has a large distribution center in the town. It would be Amazon's first drone delivery location in Connecticut. It's election day for over 120 school districts on Long Island. Voters will decide on budgets and cast ballots for board members. Budget proposals at one-third of the island's districts call for staffing cuts or program reductions, according to Newsday. A judge rejected a bid from Michelle Traconis to throw out her 2024 murder conviction. Traconis was found guilty in the death of Jennifer Dulos in a high-profile case. She'd requested her conviction be thrown out because she said her lawyer had given her bad advice. Long Island history buffs now have an opportunity to explore what the Revolutionary War era was like on the North Fork. Five historical societies on Eastern Long Island have teamed up to create a self-guided tour of what life was like in the 1770s. It's part of celebrations for the nation's 250th birthday this summer. Connecticut Democrats and Republicans met this weekend to nominate candidates for the upcoming election. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mayor's Mark Pazniokas, who's done in-depth reporting on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Hello, Mark. Let's start with the Republicans. There were three contenders heading into the convention, so how were the delegates able to unite behind Fazio, considering former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart had seemed an early favorite?
Well, things became very easy, quite frankly, on Saturday morning for the Republicans, with Aaron Stewart withdrawing after, you know, days and weeks of unflattering stories about her record as mayor and her apparent abuse of city credit card while she was mayor. It really became a very easy day for the Republicans Saturday morning. They overwhelmingly elected Ryan Fazio as their candidate. Betsy McCoy, who fell short, well short of the 15% necessary to primary.
I mean, Fazio had 92% of the delegates'
yes.
votes.
And first, McCoy quickly got up on stage, made clear that she would not try to get on the ballot by petitioning. And in fact, she endorsed Ryan Fazio. So the Republicans left very united on the question of who's going to lead their ticket in November of 2026.
Now, if Fazio succeeds, this is the first time an incumbent would be basically beaten in Connecticut in 72 years. How did the delegates feel after leaving the convention?
Well, I would respectfully say how the delegates felt was completely irrelevant to the challenges ahead for Ryan Fazio. He is trying to do something that has not been done in 72 years, and he is trying to do it in the worst possible environment for a Republican in a midterm election. Midterm elections historically are awful for the party that holds the White House, even more so for Republicans with Donald Trump in the White House. The president's war in Iran, other policies have driven inflation to rapidly drive inflation to a very high rate. Gasoline prices are approaching $5 a gallon. All of this adds up to a very bad environment for Republicans trying to unseat a Democrat, particularly in a blue state like Connecticut.
Well, you know, he does still have the advantage of not having to fight for a primary, which incumbent Governor Ned Lamont wasn't so lucky. He ended up having to face a primary. He didn't seem very happy about it when I talked with him right after that. So what do you make of the fact that the delegates at the Democratic Party convention were able to give enough support to Josh Elliott to challenge Lamont to a primary?
The two parties completely flipped the script that we were expecting to be following this summer. You know, we expected a rigorous Republican primary for governor. We did not expect one on the Democratic side. Governor Lamont's Achilles heel always has been his failure to articulate what he would do in a third term that he has been unable to do in the first two. The Republican nominee, Ryan Fazio, used that line at his convention, and Representative Elliott, the Democratic challenger, has used that line also over and over and over again. Governor Lamont has a record to run on about stabilizing the state's finances. This is a state that has had significant problems with economic growth and chronic deficits for a long time. So that is truly a success story. The problem for Ned Lamont is it's really not that compelling a story to tell in a Democratic primary, where Representative Elliott has been talking and will continue to talk about meeting needs that are unmet. And, you know, so the governor is now in a position of trying to address the left of his party. And his party, by the way, you know, there's a lot of ideological diversity. We see that in the House of Representatives in particular in Connecticut. But, you know, the people who tend to show up in primaries tend to be the activists, and the activists in the Democratic Party tend to be more liberal. So that is going to be a continuing challenge for Ned Lamont.
I noticed at the convention that what seemed to animate a lot of people was the chant, tax the rich. And that, I asked Lamont about that, and he said, well, you know, because Josh Elliott seems to be of the opinion that Lamont has been the one holding back a lot of the progressive tax policies that he and other progressives in the legislature have been pushing. And that he's, because Lamont is rich himself, that he is averse to increasing the tax on the wealthy.
Elliott has definitely sounded a populist theme. I don't know how persuasive it's going to be to say that Ned Lamont's opposition is because he too is wealthy. But it is a good issue in a broader sense in a Democratic primary, that the governor has certainly made, in concert with the Democratic legislators, has made the income tax more progressive with that tax cut that really was focused on the middle.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We'll have an interesting summer in Connecticut.
We will indeed.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paz.
Thank you.
Mark Pazniokas is Capital Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from Mark about how Connecticut Republicans united behind 36-year-old State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich, while Democrats gave enough support to 41-year-old State Representative Josh Elliott of Hamden to force two-term incumbent Ned Lamont to a primary. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. Stay cool. I'll speak with you tomorrow.